Fight!
Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. So if you thought you were listening to a sports podcast or a podcast about meditation, you've come to the wrong place. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny, and I thought this was about meditation.
My name is Nolan.
And this is episode 37. Kenny and Nolan, I have a question. What television show entertained you most as a kid? So think back to when you were 6, 7, 8 years old. What show was it that captivated your attention and your affection?
For me, I think Power Rangers. If I thought longer, maybe I could come up with something, but I watched a lot of Power Rangers when I was 6 or 7.
Yeah, I was pretty typical in that Power Rangers was a big one. I also did a lot of Turtles, which may have ruined your segue, but it was true. I was a Ninja Turtles kid.
Oh, wow. Well, we're playing Ninja Turtles. let's just get right to it. How about that, Kenny? You could have saved it. It's not the only show you watched.
No, but I did watch a lot of it. Like, it was the primary one for many a year.
Did either of you watch, 90s Nickelodeon?
Absolutely.
So Salute Your Shorts, Doug, Are You Afraid of the Dark, Are You Kidding Me, So Good.
All that, Rocko's Modern Life.
Oh my goodness. Nolan, you just said Power Rangers. Believe it or not, just yesterday my wife and I finished the first season of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
That took you long enough. You had like one episode to go for a while.
And Nolan, it was grueling. Like 60 episodes. The first season is 60 episodes of the exact same thing.
For real?
Yeah, it's painful.
60.
But it's a great accomplishment, I guess. Like,
that's really funny. I don't know if I could do that.
We're not going to continue watching.
Do they even get to the good stuff in season one? Do you get the Green Ranger and the White Ranger yet?
Yeah, you get the Green Ranger. He doesn't change to the White Ranger.
Tommy. I'm Tommy.
Dude, he was the best for sure.
The movie was good with Ivan Ooze.
I'm trying to determine if that's after the first season or after the second season where that goes into place. I think it's after the second season, so we'll never get there. Another genre of childhood television was that animated superhero stuff. So you have X-Men, which that series was epic.
It was
and
so
then you've
good.
Got probably one of the best animated superhero series of all times, Batman the Animated Series.
Yes. I need to
I don't think that. I watched any of that, actually.
Kenny.
It's so watchable as an adult. Like, you need to watch it.
Yeah, it's so good. And then it went into Batman Beyond, which that was so good,
too. Also good, yeah.
Yeah, I did some of the later ones, but, like, as a kid, I did lots of X-Men, lots of Turtles, but I didn't do any Batman for whatever reason.
And so also as a part of that animated superhero, series, you've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which were the central figures, obviously, in the retro game that we played this week called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Turtles 4, Turtles in Time.
Give it one more subtitle.
Overview.
This game is a 1991 arcade game, and it was developed and published by Konami. As Dustin has said, it's based off the TV show Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And in this game, you get to choose from the four main characters, the four dudes, Leonardo, Michelangelo, Donatello, and Raphael. And so once you choose your character, you fight your way through side-scrolling levels, beating up enemy ninjas to progress to the boss of each level. So fairly straightforward, very reminiscent of Sunset Riders, at least for me, just in the way that the game is formatted. The story is as follows. This enemy
it's
named...
really deep, so you guys hold on.
It's really deep, so you need to listen closely. Krang steals the Statue of Liberty, and Shredder taunts the Turtles into action.
Okay, classic.
That's about... that's what you've got. That's the basis. You eventually get thrown into a time warp, hence the title of the game, by Shredder, and you have to fight your way back home. But the main thing is that the Statue of Liberty got stolen.
Just the idea of having to fight your way back home is really funny to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what you have to do.
Oh, you do? But, like, what?
Yeah, it's a little weird. But, I mean, we are dealing with an animated cartoon series. The game was ported to the Super Nintendo in 1992, so that's a year later, and saw huge success in sales, and probably where a lot of our viewers may have played the game first, maybe not, but the Super Nintendo port was very successful. There were a couple of other ports, the most recent being a 3D remake that was made available on the 360 and the PS3, which, in my opinion, looks really bad, but I've never played it, so maybe some of you have picked up the game and played it. But that's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 4, Turtles in Time.
Nolan, you did a first play this week, yeah?
I did a first play, yeah.
So what that means is every once in a while, we can't produce additional content regularly yet. That's not where we are in the lifespan of New Game Plus. But every once in a while, when we're able to, we want to produce some additional content for you guys. And Nolan recorded a first play, which is just like a Let's Play, but it's his first experience with Turtles in Time this week. And so he recorded that. It's up on our YouTube channel. And I noticed in watching it that you, when you stopped, you're about 30 minutes in, you had not yet gone back in time. So like I'm trying to figure out like what you were thinking. You had gone through a good 3 or 4 stages and you had still not ended up back in time.
Right.
So like that doesn't happen for a while in this game.
Yeah, I mentioned in the first play, I believe, that I was kind of confused by the title. I didn't know if I was ever going to understand why it was called that. And I said eventually you get thrown into a time warp, and that doesn't happen till after the stage that I was stuck on. If you watch the first play, I get stuck on maybe stage 4, and after that is when it happens. So
you did it on Super Nintendo?
I did play it on Super Nintendo.
So the Technodrome, or the first Technodrome?
Technodrome,
I guess.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess just to clarify up front, I played on Super Nintendo as well, Kenny.
Yes, I did also.
And there is a lot of similarities between the arcade and the Super Nintendo version. It's about these Ninja Turtles, and it's about them going back in time. And it's from, okay, so Ninja Turtles started in comics, and then it went into the animated series, as Nolan already said, that increased in popularity. And like the cool thing about Ninja Turtles for me back then and still today is that it didn't have to be dark. It wasn't gritty like Batman or some of these other superhero movies. It was straight up fun. And I think that translated well to this video game.
It really is one of the best franchises. It's just so good.
Gameplay.
So you can play up to 4 players on arcade or on Super Nintendo, and you choose one of the turtles to play, and each of them has their own strengths and weaknesses. I'm not sure if you guys felt that or if you gathered that when playing them. Obviously, they've got different weapons, but they've also got different strengths and weaknesses. Did y'all catch that?
Yeah, for sure. Like it's not obvious when you pick the character until you start actually like fighting with them. Like Raphael was faster, but I feel like his weapons may have been weaker. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're kind of balanced out like that. And then I believe Donatello, he's got more range with his weapon. But Leonardo felt the most balanced to me, the one with the sword.
Leonardo's the one with the blue rag wrapped around his face.
Bandana thingy.
Bandana.
It's a rag. He came out of the sewer. It's clearly a rag.
He's generally everyone's favorite. I mean, he's the leader of the team in the show. He's got 2 katanas, two swords, and as you just said, he does decent damage and decent speed. It's kind of right in the middle, so he's a good, well-rounded character. But if you look at Donatello, purple, he's got a wooden stick called a bow, and he's not the fastest, but he has the furthest reach by far, and his attack does some pretty significant damage. So
And he's the smartest, so you make better decisions when you're playing as him.
I did not.
Okay, so which was your favorite turtle? Who did you play most?
I've always jumped between Raphael and Donatello as my favorite characters in the series.
Raphael being red.
Uh huh.
Nolan.
I think mine was Donatello because of his weapon, and look, just let me say this: I didn't watch the show, and I know that some people think I'm insane. And I don't think it's a bad show. I'm just saying I didn't enjoy watching it, but I love the game. So personality aside, I like Donatello gameplay-wise.
That's interesting because I was trying to determine this week if my enjoyment of this game was predicated on the fact that I enjoyed the show and the characters so much already. And obviously that has some kind of influence, but you not having watched the show, not being Turtle fans or a Turtle fan.
I'm a fan of Turtles, not you love Ninja Turtles.
But you still enjoy, and I know you haven't given your full opinion of this game yet, but it was interesting that you just noted that, I don't know, that there's still some draw, still some appeal to
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I was Donatello as well, which is the purple. I just want to keep clarifying that for those that aren't as turtle centric as Kenny
or,
and I are.
Our colorblind viewers.
He got me through the majority of the game. I switched up and played some other characters in later playthroughs, but Donatello was phenomenal.
Yeah, I felt like I was able to fight the best with him. I mean, their moves, I guess we can talk about this. Their moves are the same, right? Like the button combinations, you've got like an air kick and then you just have like your standard combos, but the weapons do matter, and like they're hidden stats, so like the speed and the slowness.
Yeah, which was one thing that actually was a little bit of a letdown on this game for me. I do like the variety in characters, and the game preceding this one, Turtles 3, which is sort of classically my favorite, the one I played most growing up, does a lot better job at character differentiation. Like you actually get special moves per character. And I missed that element a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't play the one before, but at least they gave them different like stats and different weapons, because they could have just done, you know, look, they have a different color. See, they're different. You know, like some games have not even made the effort, but at least they did something.
Yeah, I felt like it was a step back. Just because you literally get like a signature move that's special in that version, and it's a really neat element of the
game.
Did
Konami make that one?
I believe so. It's
they all own the franchise.
Yeah, it's the same franchise. So it was the last one of the NES series, Manhattan Project.
So we said the game started on arcade, and then a year later came out on Super Nintendo. And it's got the same characters, same premise, same story, slightly different execution. So two of the arcade stages became bonus levels on the Super Nintendo, which gave them room to add a whole new stage, which was the Technodrome, one of the most difficult. Like that's where the difficulty really ramps up, in my opinion.
Yeah,
on the Super Nintendo, and furthermore, like five new bosses were added, so that is a big addition. That they changed the music slightly, so like there's these different changes. And on top of that, the Super Nintendo has multiple modes, which is really cool. So you've got the 1 and 2 player mode. You can't play up to 4 as you can in the arcade. But you've also got time trial and versus fight mode. Versus fight mode would be fighting your friend, two turtles fighting each other. And time trial would be trying to beat a stage in the least amount of time as possible.
See, that's awesome. The time trial aspect is really appealing to me. I think that's awesome. I didn't do
it.
But
I feel like that would be something that you would do, though, and would enjoy.
Yeah. That wasn't on the arcade version?
Correct. Arcade version was strictly the game.
Progression. Yeah, hop in, do the playthrough.
Which, I don't know, to clarify, you're moving from the left to the right on each of these stages for the most part, except the two bonus stages. But to progress, you've got to take out all the enemies in your field of vision or right outside of it. You've got to take out all the enemies in that area to be able to move to the next area. So this game is all about how quickly you can take out those enemies.
Dispatching your enemies, yeah.
Because you can sit there and just well on them by hitting the attack button over and over and over and over again. Or you can, if you know how to control your character well enough, you can do certain things like grab one of the Foot Clan's arms and slam him left and right and left and right, which also knocks out the other enemies that come
so
into
OP.
Contact.
Yeah,
and so that...
Cool.
That's
Such
pretty much
cool
an
move.
Instant kill.
Then you've got the like tossing them off the screen as well, which is
right,
really
kill.
Neat.
So it's all about that kind of learning your character and learning how to really manipulate those kinds of things. So the arcade and the Super Nintendo game, they're different, but I still think that they complement each other well, go hand in hand, and are very similar games.
Yeah, I was going to say, I felt like the Super Nintendo version, it felt like very arcade style. And I played this game on arcade. The first time I played the game, it was on arcade a long time ago. And playing the Super Nintendo version felt so similar. Like I've said already, it felt like Sunset Riders in the way that it played. But you felt that skill gap in the game. The difficulty level felt very arcade. Like... that intensity that you used to feel, like if you fail, you have to go ask your mom for more quarters, and you really didn't want to do that. It's got that difficulty to it, and to me, that's so fun. Like I felt that the most in the bosses, like the difficulty on fighting the bosses. That that intensity of like I've got to beat these guys. I love that about this game. I love that arcade feel that it had.
And I love that it sets you up like that. Like, that you can get through the stage relatively easily, but when you get to the boss, that's where true tactics and true skill comes into play.
Right.
So, did either of you guys beat the game this week?
False. I got to the... I got thrown into the past, and then I made it to the... I don't remember what time period because it was a bunch of numbers, but it was the burn my shell at Wounded Knee. That was the...
Bury my shell at Wounded Knee.
My shell at Wounded Knee, yeah.
It starts in like, seriously, like 2,500,000,000,000 BC. It has so many numbers, and so it's prehistoric time. And then after you conquer that stage, it takes you... What's the next one? The pirates, I believe?
I think pirates. Yep.
It takes you to Skull and Crossbones, whatever that one's called, and then you beat that stage, which then takes you to the one that you just mentioned, which is on a train, kind of a Western type theme.
Yes. Yeah.
And then it takes you to the future, which is like 2020, so in just a few years.
distant future after that.
I don't know. Something like 20XX is I think what it is, but it's like distant future. So, and then you come back to the present time.
Or rather, present time 1991.
Or 1992 for Super Nintendo.
Oh, right. It's funny that, like, the first future is barely years away from now.
Right.
And that present time is, like, way back in the day.
Well, how far did you get, Kenny? Did you beat the game?
I got through the whole game, yeah. I mean, save states and whatnot. But, yeah.
Yeah. Was the 2021, was that the...
I think that was the perspective shift, the mini game.
Was that Neon Knight Rider?
Yeah, Neon Knight Rider, where you're going not vertically, but forward and backwards instead of side-scrolling. You're like forward and backwards scrolling.
And you're on a hoverboard.
Yeah, you're on a hoverboard, and you're on the road. You know, and it does that sort of faux 3D thing that that Super Nintendo started doing. And you got to go fight up the road as you travel.
It's always hoverboards. They would be disappointed with us because our hoverboards explode and they're on wheels.
Right, they explode. Yeah, that's a big deal. I actually beat the game twice, once on normal difficulty, just myself, and then second time I did it on easy, which is kind of going the opposite direction, but the reason I did that is because I had a second player.
Oh, did you get your
Kara?
Spousal to play with you?
So believe it or not, my wife actually picked up a controller and we played through this entire game with her only having one game over.
That's awesome.
I'm impressed.
And you've got multiple ones in this game. I think you can game over, just depending on the difficulty level, 3 or 5 times. And so it's impressive in and of itself that I could sit down with my wife that severely lacks hand-eye coordination and play through an entire arcade game with her and only get verbally frustrated once.
Karen, what are you doing? No, that's awesome.
It was incredible. So she had a controller, I had a controller, and we played through Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time. It was a lot of fun. And she had Donatello, I had Raphael, and we just rocked it, man.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Did you play with anyone this week, Kenny?
No, just me.
I wanted to so bad.
Yeah, it's definitely the kind of game that multiplayer is just a blast with.
Yeah, so like even I don't mean this disparagingly at all, but even playing with my wife, who is not who doesn't typically play video games like that, this game is so much more fun and so much easier with two players.
Second person, absolutely.
I can't even imagine with four. I do not think that the enemy quantity or type changes based on how many players are playing. I think that's just easy. Based on the difficulty level of the game. And so the bosses that you get their full attention when you're playing single player, which sucks. Right. If you have two players, one of you gets the attention of the boss and the other gets behind the boss and wails. So like this game is so much easier and so much more fun. You feel incredible when you're playing multiplayer in this game.
That's awesome. Cause like, yeah, in single player you can get swarmed. But if the quantity of the enemies doesn't change with more than one player, then that makes it so much easier. I can't imagine that. I wish I could have done that.
All right, before we finish gameplay, favorite boss. Who was your favorite boss? Which enemy did you enjoy or hate playing the most?
I sort of classically hate, and I don't know why, actually. I feel like I've just always been bad at or frustrated with or difficult with Leatherhead, the alligator guy.
Right.
He has always been one who I'm like, oh no, here we go. And I felt like he was that same vibe in this game. I don't know what it is about the way they design him or his kit, but he's often a frustrating one for me.
And see, I think these bosses, one of the things is once you figure them out, like it's all about figuring out what they do and how they repeat. Because Leatherhead was the easiest.
Oh, I wouldn't even say he was the hardest by any means.
Oh.
He's just one that like... sticks out to me as like when I see that he's, and I really think it may even be more connotation with other games since I've played them more, but he's one that when I see him I just always go like, oh no, here we go.
Right.
Which
right.
one was he?
He's the boss that Yuden plays at the end of the stage that you
okay.
That beat
he's him. A giant alligator.
Six or seven stages you played, Nolan, which one is your favorite boss?
The first one, because he was the easiest. But
Baxter?
Also, yeah, and also made me laugh, because what is he? A mosquito?
He's clown? In the show, man. Just red-headed scientist who somehow turned into a flying bug.
That's hilarious. That's my favorite. And I would go ahead and tell you least favorite, or are you going to ask that?
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
I hated the dude in the sewer that was
sewer rat, yeah,
throwing stuff at you, and he had a little boat. I couldn't figure him out. You said that, you know, it's all about figuring the boss out, and I agree. I just couldn't know when to hit him, and so I just had to take damage while I pummeled him.
Yeah, and see, that one's about getting in between his missile launchers,
yeah,
because they go up top and down low, and if you stay in the middle and well on him until he starts dropping the little buoy bombs, then you're
gotcha.
Safe.
Gotcha.
Except, see, I love that this game, when you move up to the next difficulty setting, I tried to do the same thing, because I played a little bit of this game on the hardest difficulty setting, but he has an additional weapon. And so you can't just stay in the middle, because he's got a gun that shoots in the middle as well. I just love
those
additions.
Awesome. Yeah, I like when games do that.
That's good game design, because a lot of developers, and you've seen this a lot, they just up the damage you take or lower your
right.
health in hard mode. But it's so cool that they add an additional layer of figuring out the boss. I think that's really cool. And I'm sure they do make it so you take more damage, the enemies take do more damage, but still cool that they even added that layer to it.
My favorite characters are Toka and Razar. I think they're late in the game. They're like Bebop and Rocksteady, but kind of like the advanced versions of them. They're in the movie. Well, I think in the Ooze one.
Yeah, the second movie.
Yeah, they're like the spiky turtle and the wolf, I think, that get upgraded by the Ooze. And they're really fun characters, and I just enjoy... I mean, it's hard fighting two at the same time, but they're pretty awesome.
Krang has always been an interesting villain to me. Though Krang.
A brain?
Well, yeah, he's a brain, but, like, he's Krang.
Who's a brain?
Well, right, but with tentacle arms.
Right, but he's a brain.
Well, sure, but so are you. Just in more flesh body.
How did this game age?
Good question.
Aged.
So the main thing, in my opinion, that caused Turtles in Time to age so well is how true the game is and was to its source material.
Yeah.
Okay, so my wife commented as we were playing that she was having deja vu and Ninja Turtle flashbacks, and she had never played the game before.
Right, and just familiar with movies and the TV shows,
right,
and those kind of things.
With the music, the absolutely quick voice bits, and the look and feel, all genuinely screamed Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I think it did that extremely well when it was created. And so it does that extremely well still today. And so that, accompanied with the gameplay that we've already discussed and the level design, I think in many ways it aged exceptionally well. It's one of those typical arcade games that I feel like could still be in arcades today, and many people would go waste quarters on that.
Kenny, what do you think?
Yeah, it aged really well. It definitely is sort of iconic and classic in its feel. Like, Dustin nailed it in that Turtles games are Turtles games, and they do it right. I also did lots of flashback moments. It was fun to remember a lot of boss characters that I had forgotten about. You know, because you sort of think of the typical ones, but then the diversity of bosses in this game really took me back to some of those different storylines that the especially the animated stuff had, you know, even beyond the big movies. Yeah, it's just classic arcade goodness. I don't even know what else to say about it. Like, the feel and the tone is great. I did really, really like that some of the stuff the Super Nintendo did was unique, you know, with levels where you're moving in the other direction, or you're interacting with Shredder, like, who's off screen, or it had some really unique elements that made it, you know, kind of a step forward, even for a pretty established franchise.
My perspective on it is so different, and so the way that I look at the age is not necessarily based on my connection with the show, or it's not based on that, because like I've said, I wasn't a huge fan, but I'm just going to talk about it based on just a video game and the enjoyment I had with it. And I still love this game. I think the design is so, so well done. The gameplay is so satisfying. It's a beat 'em up, but and that can get old, but it didn't. And I had so much fun progressing, and the charm that is there, just the references to the show, like the cowabungas and the, you know, the PG style way of saying, I'm going to kick your butt, I'll kick your shell, and stuff like that. It was just a fun experience. For, like, you don't have to like the show. It's just a fun game. And I think that's why it aged so well, because it just grabbed that arcade gameplay and made it last by making it colorful and really fun and rewarding when you beat a hard boss. And not a lot of games can do that. Whenever they've been around for a long time, you start to feel it either in the music or in the difficulty, maybe frustrating, but the difficulty here is welcomed, and I think it aged wonderfully.
The final shell shock.
Now it comes down to whether or not we give this game our vote for New Game Plus status, which just simply means, hey, do we suggest our viewers pick this game up and play it? Does it have replay value? Is it worth grabbing and playing a new game experience once again, even today, in this future of when it was created? Kenny.
Yeah, it definitely gets my New Game Plus. I don't think it's the best of the older Ninja Turtles franchise. It's good, very good, still does the Turtles thing well, has a lot of boss diversity and some diversity in levels, which I liked. But lacks even just, I don't even know how to put my finger on it, but a little bit of the charm, I thought, of a few of the others. Maybe it's just the simple or confusing storyline, but overall, it's a good enough game to be absolutely worth picking up and playing.
A good enough game. I think you're just a little bitter that we didn't play Manhattan Project.
Yeah, you keep talking.
I don't know. I love that game. That was.
Did you play that game this week?
No, but I wished I was.
Right. So I would agree. I think it's got great replay value. There's many difficulty settings. And one of the things that I loved, and Kenny, you probably experienced this since you, quote-unquote, beat the game, it's not fully beaten until you conquer the final difficulty setting. And so if you beat it on normal, Splinter shows up at the end, who's your boss, Splinter. He's a humanoid rat. Don't ask questions. And he says, great work, but there's still training to do. You know, play through the game again on hard mode to fully beat the game.
Oh, come on.
Right. Well, then you power him off.
And so on easy mode and normal mode and any of the other that's not the final mode, at the end, you've got Shredder's... You've got Shredder's face that comes across the screen and his laugh. So he still is victorious, is the idea there. But when you beat the game on its hardest mode, then you finally get the ending cutscene. And so that, which I enjoy, along with everything else that we've said, I give Turtles in Time my vote for New Game Plus status.
I also give this game my New Game Plus status.
There you go.
Well,
that's three, and so that means that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time,
is worth your
time.
Game
Plus certified. Oh. We received a few different commentaries, responses to the game this week. Some of our viewers sent in their thoughts about Turtles in Time. Scorpio said, this was a perfect port from arcade to Super Nintendo, and in some ways I felt the Super Nintendo version was superior to its arcade counterpart, primarily due to the huge sprites and awesome soundtrack and the use of Mode 7 effects. I still remember jaw-dropping back in the day when I first saw it on display in a store. I want to go back to the 90s so bad.
Yeah,
word.
For sure.
That's such a good way to sum it up. Like,
absolutely.
I'm looking at the cover right now, and it's so 90s, and it makes me want to be a kid so bad. Like, I would want this game so bad if I saw the cover of it.
Dallas emailed us at ngppodcast@gmail.com, and he said, playing this game again was a lot of fun, and I wish I was able to have played it co-op, but I had to settle for single player since my son is only 2 at the moment.
Yeah, he could have played.
Yeah, I mean, get him to play, dude. I love the new moves that the Turtles have, like throwing the enemy towards a TV screen. This is one move that you will need to learn how to do it in order to get past level 4, I think, where you have to throw your enemies at Shredder, who is in a machine shooting at you. I also think that boss level is cool because it has it from Shredder's point of view. My favorite level is a toss-up between the sewer level where you're surfing or the level where you actually go into the future and you're on hoverboards. They're probably my favorite just because of the change of pace. The enemy that still gives me the most problem are those big bulky guys that look like football players that are constantly charging at you. I found it easiest to get past them by throwing one of them at the other or trapping them in the corners where you can just keep hitting them until they explode. Explode, yes, that is how enemies die.
Oh,
they
yeah.
fall to the ground and explode. This cracks me up still. This was my favorite Turtles game growing up until my college roommate opened my eyes to TMNT 3 Manhattan Project for the NES.
Oh, brother.
That being said, this is still a great game, and I will be shocked if it doesn't get New Game Plus certified by all three of you. I feel like it's a must to own for any gamer collection. Thank you, Dallas. I think Kenny would appreciate your email and your person.
Yeah, there you go, Kenny.
I mean, of course he's right.
Eric sent us a message on Facebook, as he regularly does, and he says, TMNT has always been a great franchise for a long time. In fact, the first movie I watched at the theater was the original Turtles movie. I went from there to collecting lots of Turtle comics, to drawing my own Turtle comics, and they were quite awful, to getting my hands on all the video games with the Turtles I could find. Turtles in Time was a fun beat-em-up in its own right. One of my daughters sat with and helped me finish it this week. This game had enough going for it to keep a teenage daughter hanging with her dad, and for that, that was just fine by me.
Teenage daughter Ninja Turtles.
Teenage daughter, that's I love that. Any game that can have a husband and a wife playing together, or a dad and a daughter, like, you've done something well.
Yeah, that's so cool.
As always, we're going to randomly select our next game that we're going to be playing for the next 7 days. Hey, so we did receive a lovely email from a viewer this week answering your question from last week, Kenny.
Yeah.
So you awkwardly asked for a game that is completely opposite to goal.
Uh-huh.
You bring back memory. A viewer wrote in providing an answer, and their response was Kirby's Dream Land. And they said the reason being is that Kirby is still shaped like a soccer ball, but the game is fun and rewarding.
That's so good.
I like it. Like, you don't kick the ball, you are the ball.
You are the ball. I've wanted to play that. I think it's on Game Boy, right?
Game Boy, yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one once that one rolls around, and it might just be the one that is randomly selected today.
If it is, it's rigged.
Let's find out. The game that we're going to be playing is on the Nintendo 64. It has 64 in its title, and it's also got Star Fox in its title. We will be playing Star Fox 64.
That's a big one on the list.
Capital C Classic.
Big one.
Do a barrel roll.
Nolan, do you give it your New Game Plus status?
I do. Kenny, what about you?
Kenny? like I mean, we can just do this now.
We just go through the list.
Yeah, but then I wouldn't get to play it. Like, come on.
This game, right, because you can only play it if it's our game that week.
Well, that's true.
I am constantly amazed at Nolan's impersonations.
I try.
I expect a lot this next week, even okay. From that pig, whatever his name is.
I'll try.
All right, so guys, we've got a New Game Plus Steam group that we've been promoting for a few weeks now. Feel free to join us on there. It's just NGP Podcast. You can find us on our social media sites, Facebook or Twitter, NGP Podcast. Listen to us directly on iTunes or SoundCloud. Make sure you are subscribed so you're the first to get the new NGP episodes. Join us next week as we play Star Fox 64. That's going to be a lot of fun. Until then, I'm Donatello.
I'm Raphael.
And I'm Donatello.
And this has been New Game Plus. Cowabunga!